Matthew chapter 21 for a moment. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy word in your presence, setting apart the time, the place for you to help us. And our God, we thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study at this particular time, we shared together the entrance of our Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem after 3 1/3 years of ministry. And in doing so, up to that point, before anything was created, a God in all of his gloriousness was God. And God in his wonderful wisdom, in his wonderful ways of doing things, went and created angels. Angels, as we shared, are their assignment, among other things, is to be witnesses. They are to the zillions of them, to enjoy God. That's what they're for. They're created to enjoy God. Now, in the light of all of that, and quickly moving, remember now, here God created Adam and Eve, and God, it's his plan. You have to understand God's wonderful plan is the centerpiece, because before anything or anything was ever, God is always God. He's God alone. And only God can be God. Only God can enjoy God as God. And thus, in his wonderful wisdom, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, God the Son, volunteered, as it were, if you could use that word, in the light of God's wonderful plan to glorify himself. And the Lamb of God, our God the Son, would become born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, in all of history, as we shared, I think, on Sunday of that, the movement of history is God has a wonderful plan. He's outworking that plan in a most wonderful way. And that's what he's doing. Remember now, we tend to forget simply because of our human society. Creation and history is all about God. It isn't about us. Not about nations rising or falling. It isn't about Israel. It's about God. From start to finish. It isn't anything about your work, your home, your job, your health, your wealth. All of that rises and falls, up and down. People live, they die. Live, they die. God, you have a wonderful, wonderful plan. I do. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, the society, history, knowing he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, Micah 5:2, knowing all of that, as you travel down the corridor, then you come to Matthew 21, as we shared, and God, in these last week, the last week before his crucifixion, enters the city. He enters the city in a triumphal way. Why? Because everything has led up to this momentous moment when he's going to enter the city. What's he going to enter the city for? He's going to die on the cross. That was the reason all of it exists, including angels. It's a momentous time. And remember, we shared, without doing all of that again, remember, he's coming into the city, and he makes it very clear. All history is very, very, very quiet, but at this point, Jerusalem loaded with over 2 million people, Passover. And here they are, and he enters the city, And Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. God save us. Save us now. Hosanna, mercy, mercy. God be merciful to us. And they all shout. And the Pharisees and that begin to question and challenge. And he makes it clear in Luke 19, if the people didn't do what they're doing, the very stones of the earth would cry out. It's momentous. And the angels have been watching. Everyone's there. It's a momentous time. And God said, I want everyone to take note. And so into the city he comes. Now, having said that, John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, you would recall, as we did that in the morning, chapter 13, and in verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, chapter 13, excuse me, I'm in the wrong place, chapter 13, turn the page, and in verse 31, 13 and 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, that's Judas, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if it is true, God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. God the Father, sending God the Son entering the city, God the Son about to step out of the upper room to the garden, to the trial, to the crucifixion, all of it is there, and all of it, God, it's about you, glorifying yourself by way of your Son, by way of the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. You're going to do all of this, and it's sent, what about everybody else? No, it isn't about everybody else. Because who can appreciate it? Who can understand it? Who can even enter into it? Except God. And God makes it wonderfully possible now, hang on, what he's doing. I emphasize that because we tend to get out, we lost in our little world at work, at home, at school, and we're lost in our little world, and the world nations are lost among the nations, and we're all doing. And we forget all the pyramids that rise up are going to sit and go back to the dust of the ground. No one's going to last. No tower. The great cathedral in France burned down. Wow. It all goes. Now, hang on. So, God, you're going to glorify yourself. I am. I am. I am. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that, God in Christ glorifying himself, and it's the most important event. The event of all events is about to happen. Wow. Of all of it, history, angels, how many, eternity unknown, his time, the little bit of time, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, his little bit of time, and God, it's all about this event. It is. It is. Now, God, help us. So over to, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew in chapter 26. And you will note in verse 39, and when he went, this is in the garden, remember it, went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he's going to say it again, but we won't take time just to note it. If you would, if you're reading, in verse 42, he's going to say, my will be done. Whose will? God's will. God's will. What do you want, Lord? I came to do the will of God. That's why God prepared a body for me, Hebrews chapter 10. So I have this wonderful body, and God made the body so that I could go to the cross and die. And that's the will of God. Now, having said that, over to chapter 27. He's going to go to the cross in a most wonderful way. And in chapter 27, picking up if I can, in chapter 27, in verse 45. This is on the cross now, moving along. And here we are at the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now we came in with great, great fanfare. He goes to the cross, trial, all of it there, trials, all of them there, and he does that very public, but in unbelief, they're going to crucify him. Crucify, crucify him. We have no king. No, you don't, because you reject him. We have no king but Caesar. Now, here he goes to the cross, and in the third hour, 1, 2, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 o'clock, what happens? Well, darkness. Now, God, what's going on? Darkness. You enshroud the whole event in darkness. Everything is trying to, it's a great moment. But now, God, what about now? So in the last 3 hours, what are we going to find in verse 45 until the ninth hour? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Lama, Eli, Eli, Lama, as in the process of the hours nine and the 3 hours in the darkness, Eli, Eli, Lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, here we are, darkness covering the whole thing, and God, here's the Lamb of God, from where the Lord God, the God the Son, in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, perfect man, perfect God, going to the cross. And that was determined before anything. Wow. Awesome. It's all about that. That's right. All about it. So now, here we go to the cross. And it's remember the Lord said, here's the Lamb, Revelation 13:8 and all of that. The Lamb of God slain. So Christ determined to die. God the Son knew that he would have to die in a human body before anything. That's what he knew. Now is the hour. Now what does that mean? Well, verse 46. My God, what did all that Eli, Eli, Lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So here we are looking, God, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Why have you left me in the lurch? You have abandoned me. That's the word, verb, word. Why have you done this? You have deserted me. You have left me all alone. You have forsaken me. Now, try to catch that. I try. All I can do is sit before it. That's all. I wish I could do it for you. I can't. I can't do it. But, we know. What do we know? Well, we know in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Turn there if you would, please. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Verse 21, for he hath made, come into existence. For God, the Father, hath made, come into existence him to be. What on earth is he born of Bethlehem of Judea for? To be sin for on our behalf, because of us, who knew no sin. Why? that we might be made the right, made come into existence, the righteousness of God in him. Now, how could we possibly come out of this? Here we are on planet Earth. Adam and Eve believed. Cain did not believe. The world generally did not believe all the way through history. Here we are in history, coming to the end of the church age. Now, so he became sin for us. Uh-huh, that's what he did. And what do you know about sin? Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is what, dear friends? It's death. He became sin for us. What does that mean? He has to die. The wages of sin is death. He has to die. It's required. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, so he's born, Bethlehem of Judea, without sin, born to die, and in the process, why? Because we, born physically, humans, we're born disconnected from God. We're born spiritually dead, physically alive, and we can enjoy physical life. We can enjoy it and exercise it, and we do. We eat, we have all the senses, five senses, we have all of them, and we're able to eat and drink and see and understand and feel and sense. And we live our lives, we grow up, and we adults, and we age, and we go through everything. We just do it. It's our life. And we're physically alive. But spiritually, until we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we're spiritually dead. So now, God, what are you going to do? Because we're spiritually dead, because of sin. The wages of sin is death. God, what are you going to have to do? Well, but because he wouldn't have never created us anything if there wasn't a righteous, wonderful, holy, heavenly, happy solution. And that involves, where is that solution? It's in the person of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Now, so therefore, he had to die. Now, God, you knew Adam and Eve would sin. You knew that we would be dead in trespasses and sin. We're born physically. We're caught up in the world. We're caught up. We're not spiritually caught up. We're caught up in the world. Spiritually, you got to get saved. You can't have FM on your radio if all you have is AM on a radio, as it were. You can't get FM. Until some do something. And God has to do something to help us. And God saves us so that we become spiritually alive to be able to enjoy God. Now, in the light of all of that, and keeping that in mind, God has been died for us, is so that what? That he's going to face death. Now, it's hard for us to understand separation, and I'll quickly try to do it with half a thought. If I took away, right now, your eyesight and your hearing and your feeling and your taste buds, and I took them all away right now, you would be alive. But no sense. What do you think about that? Can you experience that in your mind? It's hard, isn't it? How do you experience that? That's how do you experience being dead in sin? We don't. We are, but we can't experience it. Because I just told you, we'd have to take all those things away, we're existent, we already have existence, we'd have to take all of that away so that we'd have a sense of what it is to be dead, physically. To lose it. What does it mean to lose? It loses all the things that make us happy, healthy humans. And you take it all away. That's what God the Father did. Here's Calvary's cross. And here's noon. Here's the God-man on the cross. Perfect God, perfect man. He became sin for us. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea to be able to be the Savior, to die on the cross. And in those last moments, why, my God, have you forsaken me? God, what happened? You, in some way that we can't even come to grips with, separated. In that man on the cross, and that man on the cross knew in a moment of time, for all that little time while he was there in the darkness, forsaken, what is it like to be dead? What is it like to be dead in sins? My God, why? That's the best we can do, because. Do you know, I wish I lost our Lord. Our Lord in that moment of time, in those moments, in those awesome moments, he's hanging there, deserted, abandoned. God backed off, leaving him alone, like us, until we get saved. My God, having no life, no light, only darkness, no love, a loss of the wonderment of God's creative purpose, making us in his image and likeness, to enjoy him. And he perfectly, our Lord, for 3 1/3 years in his human body, enjoyed God as God meant humans, as God meant humans to have the privilege of enjoying God. And that was gone. And I don't know how to explain that to you. I'm just trying to tell you, if you had lost it all, can you imagine losing it all? Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, and lostness, lost. And you remember the little illustration, remember, in the London fog over there where they have fog all the time in London. The little girl is lost. Lost that went out. Little girl wandered out into the streets at night in the fog. And the mother turned around and the little girl was gone. And the mother, the little girl was just going to wander. I mean, like any little kid, you know. But the mother knew the danger to that little girl who was lost. She did not know what it was to be lost, but the mother did. We were lost in trespasses and sin. We don't know what that is like, but God does. And that's why he died. Wow. And God, in all of your magnificence, wow. So God, here we are looking, trying to seek to understand. And you are reminding us over, if you would, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 2. And you would recall God tells us all kinds of different ways in all kinds of places. Here's one of them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins, not his, ours, in his own body on the tree. Why? That we, being dead to sins, that's our state, should live unto righteousness. God, that's what you did. You did that. I did. Why did you die? Why were you forsaken? God, you forsook yourself. Wow. Do we understand that? Oh, no. It's all about God. The world's got all about work and home and retirement, coming and going. It isn't about that. No, God, if it was just about our little lives, all of them come to an end. We're born, we die. We're born and we live and we die. We're born, we live and we die. Wow. Now, God, over here where you're in Peter, over to chapter 3 of 1 Peter, and keep in mind, if you would, chapter 3, and in verse 18, for Christ, 3 and 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that's us, that purpose, he might bring us to God. How so? Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit of God, he rose again. Now, God, that's what he had to do. What was his whole purpose? Why did you forsake him? Why did you forsake yourself, if you might somehow think of it that way? Why would you do that? In order to recover the grand purpose of your creation anyway. You created us in your image and likeness to honor and understand and enjoy your wonderful person. Now, why did you do it? Because of your sin and mine. That's why. For what? To bring us to God. Wow. That's right. To bring us to God. Now, and without going into just thinking all those different things, what is it like? Oh, God. But over, if you would please, to Romans chapter 6. Now, God, that's what he took. He died. He took my place in your place. That's why he died. Now, God, why was he forsaken? Because of us. Because we are forsaken. We are in the lurch. We're left out. We aren't in. They aren't in. Up and down, we got over 7 billion people out here. They could know the Lord, but they don't want to. Because God makes himself known, Romans 1, 18 and onward, everywhere in the middle of Sahara Desert, Australian desert, etc. Well, it isn't a question of that. It's a question of people don't want to know. They don't want to understand. They're dead in sins. And their existence, their human existence, they're able to eat and drink and whatever in the pain and pleasures of life. And they're able to do everything in their existence. And as far as I'm concerned, no matter what age they are, it seems, this is it. This is your life. Whatever's ahead, who knows? It's now. That's a generation. Here and now, instant, fast, everything, without ever looking ahead to see where that's going to go. So now, God, looking, Romans 6, you remind, if you're a believer and you know the Lord as your Savior, then verse 3. Know ye not that as many of us who are baptized, placed into, immersed into Jesus Christ, were baptized, immersed into, identified into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, God, you did that for us. That's right. So you want to know why, God, you said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of you and me. Therefore, in closing, over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And you will note, remember we said in Matthew 27, 46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now I'm going to take the same verb, and I'm going to go from God, looking at God, backing off completely, to leave the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ in a state of death. What is death? The absence of God. Now, chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Why? For he has said, I will never leave thee. And then you have the little word you're looking at, nor forsake thee. Christ is forsaken so that you never would be. So that you never would be. And once you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God doesn't back away or back down. You and I can mess up our lives something horrible. And we're living in a day when that is existing more than you want to know. But boy, God isn't backing off. He's going to honor his Son. And that's why God is going to save you to the uttermost. And me. Because God isn't going to back away from the most wonderful thing he ever did and will do when he goes to Calvary's cross. He himself is the Lamb. He himself is the sacrifice. He himself is the Savior. And we are to understand that, God, you did that for us. Therefore, we take of the Lord's table, do this in what? In remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Because it isn't about you or me. It's about him. It isn't your will for, it isn't your will and your wish and your desire. We all have that, and we do it. But God created us. We've said it 1,000 times in different ways. In Ephesians 2:10 and that. He created us. He died for us before you ever existed. He had a wonderful plan. He saw you from the day of your birth to the day of your death. Saw you all the way into forever. And he did that. And all you had to, he knew that. And that's what God wants to work out. He made it possible for that to happen by sending his Son to make all of that which he saw workable, to make the impossible possible. And there it is. Wow. And that's what God wants for your life. His wonderful, wonderful person, being your God and Savior, and outworking his wonderful plan, work, home, school, play, and you have a body, you're going to die, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, etc. You have to go live in this thing and with your old nature and be saved and enjoy a wonderful Savior all the way to the end. And therefore, be of good cheer and thank God you can know him as your Savior. He took your sin and mine. He never asked you. He never asked you anything. He He just did it because he created you. And he finishes it. And he says in Matthew, John 19, when he's all done, it is what? Finished. It is finished. Now, what are we going to do as we celebrate that which is finished? It's all finished. Now, are we claiming it? Are we entering into what it means? Or are we just repeating the holidays, which is what people do, and go through all the motions, and they do it. And they're missing out what it was all about. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and your patience. Thank you for these dear people as they bear this time. Encourage their heart, God. We're able to say, and were you there? Oh, yes, we were. Yes, we were. God, before we were ever created, we were there. When you died on the cross, we were there. And we are born on earth to discover that we were there so that we could understand the wonderful reason we were physically born, so that we could be spiritually born, so that we could know you as our Lord and Savior. God, it's an awesome thing you've done. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.